Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Kirstine Williamson-Gwynn. Kirstine is an experienced senior leader with 15 years at director level in a large corporation. She has a proven track record in delivering commercial growth and cultural transformation across large teams. After experiencing stress and anxiety in her life and losing her confidence for the first time in her career, Kirstine created her business Return to Work in November 2019, now known as Elevate Women. This business was created to support people in the most stressful time in their career when they returned to work. As the business has grown, clients come to Kirstine for a variety of reasons, not just because they are returning to work. As a transformational confidence and transition coach, Kirstine enables her clients to build unshakable confidence so they can return to work confidently or step up in their career. Kirstine is a certified master of transformational health and life coaching, and a master of feminine power principles. And with that, Kirstine, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Teaching Journeys podcast today.
You know, I'm excited to be here today. Looking forward to our conversation.
I am too. And I got to ask you, how's the weather in the UK today?
We've had so much rain again this week, but today it's sunny. So we're touching wood, crossing our fingers. It's a bank holiday weekend. Normally that means rain.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's actually May 24th we're recording. And we usually, where I live in upstate New York, which is about 5 hours east of New York City, we usually have rain, but today it's sunny and cool, and we've had a stretch of warm weather, so I'm glad that the weather is in alignment today.
I've just got back from New York.
That's right. You had mentioned you were going to be in New York. How was your trip?
It was lovely. The weather was good. It was warm.
Well, that's good. You hit it at the right time. Because sometimes the weather in the Northeast is hit or miss, and that's during all seasons of the year. Oh. But anyway, are you ready to get going?
Let's go.
All right. First and foremost, Kirstine, tell our listeners about the experiences that have shaped your life path, your life passions.
I suppose the most recent is when I left my corporate career after 32 years. I worked in banking. People would never imagine that I would have left. And when I did leave, people couldn't believe it. But a few years before I did leave, I knew that I would want to go and set up my own business. But then my parents' health really started to take a downturn. So my dad was diagnosed terminally ill, and my mom had dementia. And I was watching both of my parents fade away in very different ways, you know, we all have things to deal with. We all experience loss and change and all the things. But this was a massive turning point in my life, because up until that point, everything had been about work and my career. And I worked long, hard. I put lots of things on hold, including my life and often my family. And watching what was going on made me take real stock. But I couldn't do that until I kind of hit the bottom, because as you said, I became stressful and anxious. I was putting a lid on all of my emotions and keeping going because I had a very big job and I had people around me that relied on me and I had to keep going. But you get to a point where you realize this is not healthy and I don't want to go the way that, you know, I'm watching my parents go. So I managed to create an opportunity for me to leave and set my business up. And that was a massive turning point because up until then, everything that the big things in my life were career focused, always been very driven, been influenced by people like Tony Robbins right at the beginning. When I very first started my job, I was influenced by someone who told me that I didn't need to worry about personal development or qualifications because I'm a woman. And that meant I would get married and have children. And so these things have kind of influenced me and made me the career, ambitious, driven woman that I still am. But now it's in a different way.
I've never worked in corporate, Kirstine, but I can just imagine that that's got to be a different kind of pressure. And if you are responsible for organizing a team, working with the team, it's not only that you're responsible for their professional growth, but you also, they bring their histories into the workplace. So it's also holding space for all the personal problems that they will bring in. Or the personal dramas that may play out because of what their personal histories that they bring into the workplace. So I imagine that's had to be stressful. I imagine you would have had to master the art of compartmentalization and not let your emotions get in the way of that. In spite of everything else that was happening to you at home. So, but you're right. I mean, once emotions don't have an outlet to be expressed and they stay inward, it does a lot more damage. It does a lot of damage physically and emotionally, and it translates into depression, translates into anxiety, ulcers, headaches.
Yeah.
And I am glad you made the move when you did and empowered yourself.
I mean, I had been, as I mentioned, I was looking to leave at some point. So I started to train as a health coach, which was my savior. Because I started to learn how to look after myself. I didn't know how to do that. I knew how to get stuff done. Uh-huh. I didn't know how to look after me. And my health coach training allowed me to start to do different things that was far more nurturing of me rather than just pushing through, which is my whole career has been pushing through. My success has been built on masculine energies of pushing and getting things done and meeting deadlines and being assertive and, you know, those types of things, which is great. And I still need those qualities today, but I've learned to bring in some of the more feminine nurturing qualities, including looking after me.
It is important, I think, in anything that there be that balance between taking care of others, taking care of obligations, meeting deadlines, and then taking care of yourself. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, the other aspects of your business aren't gonna matter anyway.
Exactly. But in corporate, I never looked at it like that because I was part of a machine. So you sometimes don't see yourself as separate from it. Whereas in my own business, I do see myself like that. I know that I have to, first and foremost, take care of me because I can't take care of my business if I don't.
That's right. And a lot of times that gets lost, I think, in you know, the corporate machinery or any organization that's goal-driven and objective-driven. You don't think of taking care of yourself. It's success oriented, and you just make whatever sacrifice you need to make to get there, including sacrificing your own self-care needs.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want this to sound like it was all bad in Coalbrook, because it wasn't. I love my career. Very grateful for many of the things I've been able to do because of my career. And it's also given me a great platform for my business. But absolutely, I needed to leave. And this is a trend that is becoming more and more prevalent, especially with women who get to a certain age and think, that's enough now. I want something more fulfilling. I want to create something on my own terms. And that's what I did.
There's a lot of good things that come out of the corporate structure. But what we're talking about is a system. And if there's an issue, with the system, and it may not be anyone's fault in that, but it's a system that needs to be looked at and fixed.
Yeah.
Once we can fix the system, the individuals who are part of that will function in a more balanced way.
Such a good point, Dave, because the system is the thing that needs to be fixed. And one of the challenges that I sometimes hear, especially from men, is my business about fixing women? Well, no, my business is not about fixing women. My business is about helping women navigate some of the terrible systems, bias, challenges and barriers that can at times prevent them from getting where they want to get to.
Yeah, and I think that's a noble cause. And for me, I'm all for women empowerment. I've had female energy in my circle, at least in this incarnation of myself, consistently from age 5 right until now. And I think for me, I'm all for empowering women, and I'm all for helping them find better ways to navigate a system, which tends to be, in a lot of ways, and I'm not saying this negatively, tends to be more patriarchal oriented. So I think I'm all for any coaches that can help women navigate that system very effectively.
Well,
and that's that.
Yeah, I mean, my whole mission now is to have more women in positions of power, because I truly believe that if you have more women in positions of power, there is more balance. We are out of balance in just about any way you look at things. There is more harmony. And in business, there is better performance. And that's also necessary right now. So anyway, look out on my soapbox.
I think it's a great soapbox, and I think it's something that needs to be said, which segues into my next question. Mm-hmm. Now, during our pre-chat, we talked about the benefits of manifesting more feminine energy in our lives.
Yeah.
What are the characteristics of female energy as you see it, and why do you believe those characteristics are important for everybody to have?
I would say, in my own experience, the masculine energies create a lot of push in me, because I want deadlines, man. I want to achieve things. They're very logical, and they create pressure at times.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if that all you're sort of leveraging. And this goes back to what I said about balance. With the more feminine energies, which are more intuitive, more empathic, it's more about nourishing, it's about compassion, it's about receiving, it's about allowing rather than controlling. And we need both. And most of us have both energies. It's just when you're in a male-dominated environment, as I was, most of what I saw was masculine. And if you have too much of that feminine, intuitive, allowing energy, then you can be seen as weak around a board table. So we absolutely need both. And I need both in my business today. I mean, I can't run a business purely on intuition. And, you know, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have some deadlines. You've got to have some goals. You need logic. You need to review where you've been and map out where you're going. But you also need to think about how you do that in a way that is in alignment with who you are.
And I believe that too. I think you do need to have a balance of both. I mean, if you're going to be successful in anything, it's about being able to be detail-oriented and organized enough and task-oriented enough to meet those goals.
Yeah.
But the other part of this is the humanistic approach, which we also need to be aware of. The task-oriented, driven approach isn't going to bring people or teams together by itself. You need to be able to have the intuitive sense to know how to approach a particular member of your team, when not to approach them. You know, you have to be able to address some issues with empathy, with compassion. And I think with that type of balance, I think makes for a very wholesome corporate environment and makes for teams that are going to have a nice balance of putting emphasis on humanistic values as well as goal-oriented and task-oriented and achievement-oriented values. I think having that kind of balance is going to, by itself, Kirstine, from my perception, increase the bottom line.
And if I think about one of the main challenges in the corporate world I was in was it's very, very competitive. And what a feminine energy will bring more of is collaboration. So it's harnessing both, understanding that there is a place and a need for both of these energy, but both is the important thing. And sometimes the feminine energy is missing. And when a woman starts to understand that there's a different way and that she can be a bit more of who she really is and do things with a bit more ease and flow, like I learned, that's a massive shift. That's like a huge release.
Well, the other thing that collaboration does too is it brings people together. And we also, if we focus on collaboration, we can witness each other's differences, understand those differences, but we can also find the similarity within the difference, which brings us closer together as well too, and brings us unified towards one specific goal and mission, which is what you want to have in an organization. You want everybody on the same page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if there's an undercurrent of competition, it gets fragmented.
Now, because then things become more cutthroat, and to me, we're in an era now where collaboration is really a must value that we need to incorporate because, you know, shared resources, if we can share our resources, I think that's going to just make for, a better workplace. But it's also going to make for a better world as well, too, if we can share and collaborate. That the workplace could be a microcosm of what can happen out in society if we let it, if we focus on collaboration.
I agree.
I saw this passage on your website. It reads like this, is when we feel good, good things happen. So tell me more about the meaning of that phrase to you. And does that inform your work with female leaders?
Yeah, it does. And I remember having this acute awareness that sometimes we just focus on the wrong things. And I was working with someone who'd just lost her husband and suddenly, and very young. And all I wanted her to do was focus on feeling good because she was trying to do all these other things because suddenly her life had changed. And she needed to step up and become more of a financial contributor. She needed to do all sorts of things. And there was all this burden on her. And I remember just saying to her, let's just focus on feeling good, because when you feel good, good things happen. Because for the last 5 years, that's what I had focused on without really acknowledging it. And then I'm talking to her and I'm realizing that that's exactly what she needed to hear. And now it's one of those things that I say all the time, because I fundamentally believe that when we are doing things to manage our energy, our headspace, to make things feel good for us, that's when we're able to create or co-create the good stuff that we want in our life. It's the energy of it. But when everything feels heavy and a struggle and a burden, then it's so much harder.
Yeah, and I think what we put out, we get back. If we're putting out good energy, we're going to get that back. If we're putting out negative energy, we're going to get that back. If we call in fear, or if we fear a specific aspect or a specific situation, that situation is going to manifest until we deal with it.
I mean, fear is a big deal, and it's really hard when someone is in something deep and they feel like everything's just crushed. I mean, I know how I felt when you feel like everything is crashing down around you. To say feel good, you know, it's probably the most annoying thing to say, but when you start to break down, okay, what are the little things that would help you feel just a little bit better, that would make you feel a bit more supported or encouraged? You know, even if it's a tiny bit better, it's something.
Yeah, and sometimes we lose track of just the small things that could, or little things that can make us feel better, because we're busy trying to negotiate the bigger stuff and the bigger things that comprise tragedy.
Yeah.
Let's get to Elevate Women Coaching,
okay.
Your business, your creation. Tell our audience about the mission of Elevate Women Coaching and the services that you provide. Mm-hmm. And what do you perceive has been the impact of your services on elevating female leaders?
My mission is to have more senior female leaders around the table. And I want them around every table, and I want them heard. And so my mantra is, I help women build unshakable confidence so they can speak up, step up, and stand out. I come across so many women that want to say things but don't. We as women get interrupted. In the UK, it's 1.67 times a minute. In the States, it's slightly less. And so I want women to be able to build whatever it is they need internally, to be able to say what they want, to be able to create what they want. Because we just spoke about this. When there are more women around the table, there is more balance, more harmony, and better performance in business. So that's what I do. And I work with individuals and I work with organizations. Organizations here and in the US and many other countries are very focused on gender parity, and it's clear and obvious that there's not enough women in senior positions. And what I talked about before, about women getting to a certain age and thinking, I want something else and leaving, is a big challenge. So I want to help organizations take better care, create better opportunities, and deal with some of the systems that stop women from getting where they want to get to. You know, hybrid working right now, that there are more women that work at home than men for obvious reasons, but that creates explosions. That means women are less likely to speak up on conference calls than they are in person. And, you know, there's all these dynamics that are at play, and that's what I help people through. It's massively important to me, having spent so long in a male-dominated corporate environment. It's also important to me because I am a big animal activist. I want a world where we see animals are here for themselves, not for us. They're here with us, not for us. And I also believe that when more women can have a say and work to their own agendas, that more of that is likely to happen. Because if you look at the number of vegans, vegetarians, it's very female dominated. So that's like my undercurrent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an animal lover, so I'm sold on that part of your mission as well too. And I agree, animals can teach us a lot about ourselves. And the other part is, I think if you talk to anybody who's a student of history, or talk to even somebody from the Native American or other indigenous populations, they will tell you that the animals were here before us. They inhabited the earth before us, and they have every right to it. They have every right to be treated with respect as any other living thing in this country, in this world. And I'm glad that that is also part of your initiative. Take me through when a woman first comes to you as a client.
Yeah.
First of all, can you tell me, just without obviously violating confidentiality, what are some of the issues, what are the primary issues, presenting problems or issues that women requesting your services present to you?
So they might come to me because there's some sort of change, whether it's the lady that lost her husband, whether it's someone who's just lost their job. Sometimes they come to me because they just got the big job and they're having a holy moly moment and thinking, how on earth am I going to do this? Sometimes they're stuck and they don't know where to go next, or they feel like they're overlooked in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they just feel like they want to feel better and be more confident so that they can then figure out what they want to do next. So it's a variety of reasons women come, and that's why I'm kind of a confidence and transition coach. But what I often end up helping people do is accelerate their career.
What are some of the tools that you present to them? And I know it's an individualized process depending on what presenting issue they are coming in to see you with at the time. But what are some of the primary tools or common tools that you give them to help them reach their objectives?
The first thing that we always do is start to slow down and check in with themselves. So start to tune into their gut, their intuition. When I was stressed, when I was in corporate running around from one thing to the next, I was so disconnected from myself. If you said to me, how are you feeling? I would have just said good, but I didn't have a clue. I could have been stressed to the max, but my automatic response was good, and I never knew how I felt. Therefore, I wasn't able to then do something for myself, whatever it was that would have made me feel better. So I teach them how to tune in and reconnect with themselves. So they've got their mind, which is often overthinking, being balanced out a little bit by the tuning in and slowing down and paying attention to their gut. That's the first thing. We build a positive relationship with them. I also start to look at how they can take better care of themselves. So we look at food, water, hydration, exercise, meditation, anything else that's going to give them a quick slow down, take care, and start to change some of the patterns that they've had probably for years that are not helping. So we start to disrupt some of those. And then we create a plan. So whatever that is, whether that I need to get this job by then, and we look at how we, so if we're looking at career, we look at how we stall our career as a woman. One of the biggest things we do is we're so busy focused on performance that performance is a small part of getting your next role. Exposure is the biggest hole. But we are so busy in the do, we're not managing our profile, we're not doing the stretch projects, and we expect our performance to talk for itself, and it doesn't. So I get them to see things differently. I get them to build a different self-concept, expand what's possible for themselves so they can then start stepping up. So there's lots of different things that we do, and it really depends on what the plan is.
And as it should be, because one size does not fit all, particularly when you're working with individuals. You have to give them tools that are going to be, one, they're going to be receptive to, and that are going to basically meet their own unique needs.
Yeah.
And that's not only ethical clinical practice, but I think that also comprises ethical coaching services as well, too, when you meet the client where they're at and give them the tools that they are motivated or that best fits their, their background and their preferences. So I think it's great. I think I like that you do a lot of holistic practices such as meditation, such as mindfulness, and you merge that with some very goal-oriented, task-oriented approaches. It's a very integrative philosophy, and I like that. If there is one thing that you would want to leave our listeners with today, what would that be, Kirstine?
I would say to everyone, you have many relationships in your life. And you have relationships that you invest in, you nurture. The relationship you have with yourself is the most important. And it's often the one that we invest in the least and we neglect. Whatever it is that our listeners are looking to do, we are the people that's going to enable that to happen. So instead of jumping into what do I need to do, is come back to yourself first and think about how do I need to take care of myself? What's the mindset I need to have around this? And just really check in with what's going on internally and how you're taking care of yourself before you start going or trying to do a million things. And I say that as someone who spent, 35 years running around, getting things done and doing things well, but at what cost to me?
And I like the check-in piece, particularly when we wake up in the morning, just to sit down in our beds for a second and see where our body is speaking to us. Where is it holding tension?
Yeah.
Where is it feeling tighter? What parts of my body are harder to move than usual? And when our body speaks to us, that's a first cue if things are out of alignment,
yeah,
that we need to begin to take care of ourselves. Either if we do some moderate stretching, some exercise, some gentle yoga, if we are into that, or meditation,
yeah.
That I think is something that we don't do. We may not do enough of.
What we tend to do is ask everyone else, how are they feeling? What I get my clients to do from the get-go is ask themselves, what am I feeling and what do I need?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you start.
And those are more concrete ways to get to how you're feeling? Because a lot of times if somebody asks me how I'm feeling and I don't want to talk about it, I'll just say, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so essentially, I think the more directive you can be with that question or the more specific, the more of a specific and direct answer you're going to get. And it's going to help that person put their thoughts into perspective,
yeah,
and give them more clarity in the process. So,
exactly.
Tell our audience, they want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Either email me, Kirstine@elevate-women.co.uk, or find me on LinkedIn, Kirstine Williamson Wim. There's only one of me on LinkedIn with that name. You will find me.
Yes, that is, and you're right, that isn't a common name. And I was thinking to myself, boy, with the name that you had that was that long, you must have one big business card just to get your name on it. So, but Kirstine, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. I hope we can do this again in the future.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you again, Kirstine. And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.